Americans have developed a strange relationship with food. We've largely abandoned cooking while becoming obsessed with watching others cook on television. Since the mid-1960s, cooking time in American households has fallen by half to just 27 minutes daily. Yet, we've elevated professional cooks to celebrity status. This disconnect reveals something deeply human about watching cooking. The ancient Greek word for cook shared roots with magic, appropriate for an activity that transforms raw ingredients into something greater. Anthropologists tell us cooking is what defines us as human. Scottish writer James Boswell called humans the cooking animal, while Richard Wrangham argues that cooking made us human by providing energy-dense, easy-to-digest food that allowed our brains to grow larger. It freed us from spending days gathering and chewing raw food, enabling the development of culture. Around the fire, we became more sociable and civil. First, we cooked our food, and then our food cooked us. Why bother cooking when it seems an unwise use of time? This embodies the classic argument for division of labor that has given us civilization's blessings, but also breeds helplessness. Taking back food production restores connections that supermarkets obscure. The kitchen matters more than we imagined. It's where our engagement with nature affects the world's fate. Cooking with fire reveals our complex relationship with nature. Modern humans often eat more like animals than our ancestors, yet cooking serves as a secular version of sacrifice, helping us locate ourselves in nature. All cooking begins with destruction, killing, cutting, chopping, but creates graceful distance between eaters and eaten, helping us forget the underlying violence of our meals. Claude Levi-Strauss viewed the distinction between raw and cooked as the fundamental divide between animals and people. Barbecue maintains a visible connection to the animal's former life, while braising represents deeper sublimation. Cooking meat over fire serves as a ceremonial act of remembering our place in nature. The cooking hypothesis proposes that cooking isn't merely cultural, but the evolutionary prerequisite for becoming human. Between 1.9 and 1.8 million years ago, Homo erectus emerged with smaller jaws, teeth, gut, and significantly larger brains. Cooking transformed our evolution by making food easier to digest as heat denatures proteins and breaks down tough collagen. By externalizing much of digestion, cooking freed energy for brain development. Having evolved with cooking, humans cannot thrive on raw food alone. In the American South, barbecue isn't just cooking. It's a cultural institution with fiercely defended regional traditions. The Balkans of barbecue map reveals distinct territories: whole hog in some areas, shoulders in others, vinegar-based sauce in the east, tomato-based in the west. These practices define communities through their prohibitions. We are the people who cook only shoulders over hickory wood. Ed Mitchell, a celebrated North Carolina pitmaster, demonstrates the balance of tradition and innovation. After careers in football, Vietnam, and Ford, Mitchell returned home when his father fell ill. Finding his mother discouraged by their struggling grocery store, Ed revived old-fashioned barbecue, and word spread like wildfire, launching his business. "There's something about cooking a whole animal that makes people feel happy," Ed reflected. "Barbecue brings people together. Only two things in my experience have had the power to transcend race: Vietnam and barbecue." Unlike fire cooking, men's outdoor social performance, water cooking involves indoor work: chopping vegetables, sauteing, adding liquid, and tending a covered pot for hours. Today's Americans spend just 27 minutes daily on food preparation, down from twice that in 1965, creating a paradox where cooking becomes more interesting yet problematic when no longer obligatory. Pot cooking exemplifies culinary economy and ingenuity. By combining plants and animals in liquid, we create dishes greater than their parts. Every drop of fat and juice is conserved, tough cuts become tender, and small amounts of meat feed more people. The humble pot expanded our culinary possibilities by allowing humans to combine animal products with plants. The braising liquid unifies ingredients, with water as the elemental hero. It extracts molecules from one ingredient and diffuses them to others, creating new chemical bonds that produce distinctive aromas, flavors, and nutrients. Every cuisine has its characteristic flavor principle, combinations signaling cultural identity, like tomato, lemon, oregano in Greece, or cumin, coriander, cinnamon, ginger, onion in Morocco. Bread represents a technological breakthrough that enhances wheat's flavor, digestibility, and nutrition. Discovered roughly 6,000 years ago in ancient Egypt, leavened bread emerged when someone found a neglected, bubbling bowl of porridge that, when baked, created an airy structure with complex flavors. A loaf embodies an entire civilization: agriculture, milling, baking, and the essential contribution of microorganisms. Unlike cooking with inert ingredients, bread baking is fundamentally biological. The baker collaborates with living organisms rather than controlling them, more like gardening than construction. Modern bread making has gradually eliminated this biological complexity, with white flour removing the living elements of whole grains and commercial yeast replacing diverse wild microbe communities with a predictable monoculture. Sourdough's microbial ecosystem remained mysterious until 1970, when scientists discovered a symbiotic relationship between Candida malaria yeast and Lactobacillus sanfranciscensis bacteria. These microbes coexist by consuming different sugars. Dead yeasts provide amino acids for bacteria, while bacteria produce acids that favor the yeast and inhibit competitors. Fermentation is controlled decay, creating deliciousness by managing rot to the perfect point. Since Pasteur's time, we've waged war on bacteria with antibiotics and sanitizers. Now, a growing fermentation underground champions unpasteurized foods and wild cultures as both political statement and ecological practice. Scientists studying the gut microbiota believe they're approaching a paradigm shift in health understanding. Modern genetic sequencing shows 9 of every 10 cells in our bodies are microbial species, mostly in our gut, and 99% of our DNA is microbial. This discovery redefines humans as superorganisms, complex communities of several hundred co-evolved, interdependent species. Broad-spectrum antibiotics, modern sanitation, and bacteria-hostile diets have dramatically altered our microbiota in the last century. The hygiene hypothesis suggests children actually need exposure to more bacteria for proper immune development. Without this microbial training, the body may misidentify harmless proteins as threats, triggering allergies and autoimmune disorders. Why make beer, bread, or fermented foods when store-bought versions are readily available? The rewards include giving handmade gifts, gaining sensory knowledge, appreciating craftsmanship, and transcending mere consumerism. In our screen-dominated world, these DIY pursuits engage our neglected senses. Fermentation particularly resembles gardening through its dialogue with natural organisms. Our success depends on aligning with their interests, our control always limited. Fermenting your own food rejects homogenized flavors and declares independence from standardized products. More fundamentally, cooking creates connections between species, cultures, and people. While screens and single-serving meals isolate household members, sharing from a common pot brings us together. A weeknight casserole fosters connection that individual microwave meals cannot. Cooking transforms us from consumers into producers, building self-reliance while reducing corporate dependence. Working directly for ourselves and those we feed, we reclaim the elements in our kitchens, and, in doing so, transform not just ingredients, but ourselves.